It's the Elaborators. My name is Justin. You are welcome to be here. Oh, that's Simon and Dee, and they're already in the house. I was going to introduce them, but they waved straight away. G'day, producer Simon.
Hello.
G'day. G'day, Dee. How are you?
G'day.
It's actually been a while since we've had you on the pod.
Yeah, it has.
I've been traveling.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You've been traveling?
Traveling. I was not here.
Is that different to traveling?
Traveling. I was traveling on. Traveling. Man.
Were you a Wilbury as you were traveling?
Sure.
Oh, come on. Come on. That's gold. That's just gold
just
right
setting
there.
Setting the era right now.
Yeah.
The late 90s cartoons.
Actually. No. What? Traveling. That's traveling Wilburys, man.
Oh,
traveling
Wilburys. You know.
Where were you?
What's going on there? Wild Thornberrys.
Wow.
I love the Wild Thornberrys.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I love
now
that.
I got Deanna back.
I feel like, yeah, something weird's going on. So what we thought we might elaborate on today, we've been talking a little bit about creation, how it came to be and what part we play in it. And so one of the things that's been really lovely to think about is the scriptures that talk about what creation does in response to the creator. Of course, we've talked a little bit on the pod, on the Elaborators, about music and its impact and effect. And I've been working with music and churches, well, my whole life, really. And one of the things I think is noticeable is that music can be a thing that really connects people and makes them feel welcome and warm and connected, especially when you're working on I know that song and I feel good and that, you know, that's from my past or whatever. But can also be a really divisive thing if it's, you know, if you don't like the style or if it's too loud, too bright, whatever, too soft, too a cappella, whatever it happens to be, too religious. So creative processes have this ability to be both connecting and dividing. And so for me, when I start to think about the creator and how I respond to God in with music and with art and things like that, I have realized, Dee, over the years, that the way I do it isn't universal and apparently isn't even liked by some people. Have you ever felt that? In contributing to faith life, have you, you know, you bring your thing to the table. Have you ever not been liked for the thing you bring?
Of course, because people are so different. But I'm thinking, how do you deal with that, Justin, as a creator? Because you're pouring out part of yourself.
Yeah.
And then people are judging that. And so that's what I told Simon coming over here. I hope Justin doesn't make me sing because it's like, I can sing. I like to sing, but I don't like to be judged.
Okay. Well, actually, the first part of our podcast is, ladies and gentlemen, here's Deanna singing.
Nope. I'm too insecure.
Here's what Deanna wants to hear instead of her singing.
Crickets, yeah, crickets. They sing, don't they? Yeah, they can do. Be really annoying when they get.
They do, and I wish they'd. Speaking of creation that's divisive, I know the crickets are talking to each other and probably they're in breeding grounds or something. I don't know how it works. Anybody? Producer Simon, do you know anything about crickets in there?
No, only that my dogs love to find them in the grass.
Oh.
That's a fun fact.
Dogs do like to do, they sort of chase the things around. But when you bring your creative thing to the table in faith life, and we specifically talk a lot about church life here, we want it to be loved and to be appreciated for what it is. What have you discovered over the years about how to bring your creative, whatever it is, your teaching, preaching, administrating, whatever it happens to be, how do you bring it to the table safely these days?
Safely. Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, you've got to put your insecurities away, don't you think? That's the thing, you know? But how do you do that? That's what we pay counselors for.
That's next week's podcast, yeah.
No, but
summed up in 30 minutes. Eh?
Yeah.
Insecurity 101 with Simon.
Let's take it to nature, right? Okay, because so when we first moved to Australia and I heard magpies, I have never heard a bird that sounds like magpie. And I'm like, that is such a beautiful, mournful call. And I just loved it. And I said that to another pastor friend and he's like, oh, how could you like magpies? They're terrible things. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I think of that to this day. That was 20 some years ago. But no, beautiful. It's the individuality of art and beauty and what we appreciate and stuff. I think we're individuals. I think it reflects our individuality.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, Simon, you've been not in and out of church life, but you've been only contributing as a staff member for the last little part of your life. Mm-hmm. And you did have a big stint in the US of a couple of years where you were you on staff or were you a key volunteer? You're on staff. Mm. You brought videography, that sort of stuff. But you were kind of an island in that. Was there anybody else saying, I don't like it, you should do it differently? Was it hard
to... In the US, there was. I had a creative boss.
Oh, you had a creative boss?
Yes. Mm. And then a creative teammate. There were two of us. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it wasn't quite an island. I'm probably more of an island here.
Does that mean that there were a teammate that was creative or a creative, like you said, creative boss? So your boss was creative or it was a creative boss?
It started off with a creative director.
Yeah, okay.
And then eventually morphed, I guess, that person changed roles and then we all kind of shifted up a half step, I guess, and then got a bit more creative control.
Yeah.
Control. There was myself and a colleague.
So I guess the thing is that we're using the word creative in very interchangeable ways right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we've been talking about our creator. So God is the source of all life and all breath. And we have songs like Psalm 150, which says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we all have breath and the creation has breath. And we all sing a slightly different song and come from slightly different cultural backgrounds. So when is it something that you just like to do by yourself? And when is it something that you feel you can bring to the group and say, hey, judge me on this, creative boss, creative director?
For me, I'm not the type of creative designer that, you know, just sits all night in every spare time and dreaming new things and creating new things for the fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need, in a lot of what I do, a lot more purpose behind it.
Yeah.
And the task to achieve. Yeah. So once the core why is outlined, then I hopefully get to go and play with what that result is.
Yeah.
So I need that purpose behind it for me to be creative.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Simon, because I used to do a lot of music for church, okay, a long time ago, back when churches were small and it was less, you know, there was still a piano and an organ on, anyways.
What was your choice on a Sunday, your piano or organ?
Oh, I don't know how to play an organ.
It's a whole different, I used to love watching those old organs with the beats and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The beats. I just pull out all the, literally, that's where that phrase comes from, pull out all the stops. I just push all the buttons and see what it did.
But, you know, what I noticed is that, you know, the end of that era, I have music, like sheet music, like real paper music, not the digital stuff that end about 2008, because that's when that role ended. And I didn't have purpose to play as much anymore until I go through a season of pain. And then it is that's where that creative energy gets unleashed in me as it taps into the deeper emotional stuff.
Love it.
Yeah. So it's like I've been playing. I just ordered.
What did you do? What did you do?
Diana? Amazon.
No, because Amazon.
Did you order an organ?
No. I ordered two John Denver piano books because I used to play it when I was younger and stuff like that. So Annie's song is like one of my favorite. No, I can't remember. I can't remember anything, but I'm still waiting for it to come from England.
It's just a guitar I had prepared earlier.
Where'd that go? I don't have a piano I can pull up.
What's a John Denver song?
Poems and Prayers and Promises. That's one that's really beautiful.
Who sang Country Road?
He did. Take Me Home, Country Road. There you go.
Take me home.
To the place.
To a place.
I belong. West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Mountain Mama.
Mountain Mama. I love that you're refusing to sing. Take me home.
Country roads.
Country roads.
Woo.
I almost got it. But when I pick up a guitar, right, again, and I find this, when I pick up a guitar can be one of those things where people kind of freak out that someone's got an instrument in their hand. Have you ever done life group, small group, those groups where churches break up into homes during the week and a few people sit around and the idea is that you're supposed to encourage one another, maybe talk about what the sermon had been that week or do a Bible study together, and someone came with a guitar. And for me, as a musician, it was always a fearful moment of, can this person play?
Yeah.
Is this going to be good? Is this going to be bad? Do you know that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought we could do is just have a little...
So you did it here?
Yeah, I just thought it'd make you uncomfortable. hang on. So everyone, welcome to the Elaborators Life Group. This is the awkward bit before we get the cookies and tea out.
I'll get some fire crackling sound going on.
Oh, do it.
Elaborators campfire.
Yeah. Oh, and then the musician would start to play, and then of course they'd give a little mini sermonette.
Mm.
You know what, people? I was walking along the street the other day, and I stubbed my toe on a fire hydrant. I realized.
You got nothing.
But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those fire hydrants.
Well, it works in mysterious ways, brother. No, no, but if I sing some of this, hang on. God wonders beyond our galaxy.
Do you want us to sing?
Yeah. You are holy. Holy, yeah. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy. Holy. Lord of heaven and earth. Makes you feel something, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, takes you somewhere. Oh, what if we're... Okay. Praise the Father. Praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Oh,
bless the Lord, oh my soul. Soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, and worship Your holy name. 'Cause I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. So, gut reaction, how does it make you feel when we get to sing together in familiar ways and sing lyrics like that?
How does it make me feel? Like it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter how good you are, mm-hmm. or not how, I mean, you know, I love to stand next to my husband who can't. I'm just going to leave it there. And he sings his heart out and I hear it. And I just think it doesn't matter. Like when we come before God, God's not judging our talent. Cause often we want to put up, you know, it's like, oh, they're so good. There's, you know, but just the freedom that it brings to sing praise to God and make a noise, a joyful noise.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all we can do. But anyways, or, you know, yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. I think the letting go part of it is a really, really big thing. Certainly, I've been a music educator in a past life, and one of the things you have to do with young students is to say, forget about the thing you've heard on the radio or the way you've heard it. You know, you want to play the pop song, but they've got in their head the way they heard it played. They're hearing in their internal sort of memory is telling them this is how it sounds when it's done by a professional. And the honest answer from a lot of children is I can't do that.
Mm.
And so the trick as a music educator is trying to get them to let go of that and make a joyful noise first because that's the beginning. It's actually a letting go process, which comes into the same kind of conversation as the art teacher that's trying to get the child to move beyond the I can't draw statement, which everybody has made. I can't draw. I can't do this.
Yeah.
This is not me. And so when it comes to this idea of everything that has breath, part of it is reminding us that if there are, you know, this many billion people on the planet and all of us have voice to sing in some way, shape or form, then it and tonality changes around the world and styles change around. Mm. Styles change from suburb to suburb and church to church. And that's why we have 47,000 radio stations available to us. So the idea that you can just let go and just worship is actually is actually a really big leap for people. But I love what you've just said, is that that idea, you just, it's the heart, it's the sound of the heart. I actually like the idea that Psalm 150 says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. But Zephaniah 3:17, which is one of my favorites, and you've heard it said before, that the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice over you with singing.
Wow.
So the idea that we get to sing and he sings, there's already a chorus going on. There's this idea that his love is the thing that quiets us and his voice is the thing that sings over us. And there's, you know, you can go into very poetic language about the melody of creation and how it speaks to us. But you're a person that loves to run and walk and be outside in creation. If I have it on good authority that your children follow you on Spotify
sometimes,
and if mum's playing her angry Spotify list, they call you to check in on you.
That did happen once. It's like, you know, are you okay? And it's like, oh yeah, no, I was just I needed to release some angst. I was listening to my angsty music.
So you listen to angsty music to let go of angst?
Yeah, you know, when I'm feeling, it's really interesting because Stan cannot handle minor keys, right? And I love minor key music, right? It's very soulful and it just touches something deep inside of me. So when I'm having like a sad day or whatever, I'll listen to something that is usually minor related. Or, yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. Sounds like House of the Rising Sun a little bit.
There's a lady. No. You sure? Oh, the clear air has got. Anyway, now that's. So I just started Stairway to Heaven somehow instead of Rising Sun.
That's okay.
Anyway.
But you know, no, I actually was listening to Southern Gospel. I used to hate Southern Gospel music because it doesn't matter. In the South, that's what a lot of people sing, right? And so I get. It's like they're all this about heaven. It's just, you know, but now it's more reflective for me, especially as I'm getting older. And it's like, oh, it's about heaven.
Yeah.
And, but it's that, it's more of that Southern style and the bluegrass and stuff like that. I do like to, it's fun to sing.
This is the point. So my role in church life as, I mean, you know, has been as much about trying to get people to hear the word through preaching and teaching, but to get them to sing it. Which is actually a really complicated thing, especially we work in a really multicultural environment. So you've got language barriers, you've got taste barriers, you've got all of that sort of thing. So when you hear the congregation singing and you've got a song that works, it's actually a really amazing feeling. And it's something I look forward to. Sim, you're often up the back of a worship gathering doing the tech stuff, the cameras, those sorts of things. Do you find yourself singing? Are you a sing-along guy or are you a listen and absorb guy?
Yeah, I'm a listen and absorb guy. And a lot of our headsets have the two cans on each side. And very much during a Sunday I'll have one off behind so I can be part of the room. It's very helpful to know what's going on in the room.
Yeah.
But also the opportunity to hear what the mix is coming towards me and the swell of the congregation as well. And there's certainly times I'm lucky enough that I'll do the social thing as well, social media thing. And so if it resonates, the phone comes out and I'll try and capture it, right, to share it. And it doesn't work. There's those moments that are worth attempting. They're the fun. That's where you kind of feel like that whole unity in the room. I want to share this.
I think, you know, if I could grab you on that thought, the idea of the phone never captures the vibe. And you know, microphones are limited and all the rest of it, but there is something phenomenal about when you're in the room.
Yeah.
And often for people who have sung, especially these days in the age of everything is recorded and broadcast, the singer that goes home and re-listens to the moment that was amazing in the room but sounds terrible
in the mix. Yep.
Because there is something about the otherness of God, the what we would call or try to understand as the presence of God when his people are gathered, that is just moving, an incredible thing. You know, I wish I could describe it, but that's why I say, you know, often in scripture you see that it's like a fire, it's like a cloud, it's like the blazing sun.
It's the original surround sound.
Oh, somebody dropped the mic. That's... Yeah.
5.1, 7.1, 9.2.
Church Point Rad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just came up with that and that wasn't worth it.
I'm not sure I can. I might have to cut the word rad
out please, of the podcast. Please do. Could you replace it with something that I'll the millennials will get?
I'll bleep it and it'll change the whole context of that sentence.
More bleeps in worship music. We started out by talking about the creator and the creation. We've been talking a little bit in our sermon series on a Sunday about the beginnings of everything. We've been looking at essentially Genesis 1 and where it all started and how we try and understand that and wrap our heads around it. I love the idea that a creator that creates and sings over us and then asks his creation to sing back to him actually carries the entire history of Earth in it. Every generation has been given the same instruction and the same blessing, which to me is one of those things, and it's a little bit artsy to say, I get it, but it kind of connects all of creation throughout of history. So, you know, one of the ways I do it is I often, and you guys can, I don't know if you want to challenge me here, but one of the ways I do, I pick up my guitar and Dee gets her organ or... Or vibraphone, maybe?
Oh, no, just a piano.
What about a keytar?
Did you play keytar, did you play in the marching band at school or anything?
No, I never did. That was for the not cool kids, can I say that?
Oh, the not cool kids. Yeah. You were too cool for school, quite literally?
Too cool for the band. Cool for the band.
Really?
Because they were like the early nerd, like the band nerds. That's really what it was.
What sort of nerd were you?
I ran track. Played softball.
Yeah.
Art. That was it. I was like a painter, drawer.
Right. Yeah. None of this is screaming nerd at me. I actually don't think you've embraced your full inner nerd. I think you need to.
I'm a multi-talented nerd. I do everything very mediocre. I can do a lot of things very mediocrely.
Yeah.
That's it.
Can you have a diverse nerd? I don't know if you can.
I think that's a diagnosis. I don't know. Okay. So here's just a little thought for everybody listening and trying to elaborate and keep up with us right now. We started out talking about essentially the impact of music and what it does to gather people. And I fully understand that it is something that I wish connected more people, but I know is an arena that can really divide people. But if I could talk to us about our individual practice, because if it's just you in the room, then whatever joyful noise you make is fine. But for some people, it's the tool. So sometimes for me, it's just opening scripture, strumming guitar and trying to make a song out of it. Okay, so while you tell me about what your process is of communing with God by yourself in creation, you can pick a scripture and throw it at me. Or did you already do that?
Oh, I mentioned a couple, but I was thinking, you know, as you're saying this, we're going through a season of challenges at the moment, right? And I always have a soundtrack playing in my head of some sort or another. And it's like, oh, what is that? And then it's that trying to find it, whether it's in a hymn book or something like that. And I went on and downloaded some music this week and paid $9.
Well done. $9 worth of music.
For a piece of sheet music that is pretty pathetic. And I couldn't transpose it because it didn't have that feature. But anyways, it's written in the key of C, Justin. Ooh, yeah. I cannot transpose Q. Anyways. But just I needed to have that song, so I needed to be able to play it because it was just going through my head over and over and over. Mm-hmm. So in order to just get it out. But the lyrics of the song were really what was speaking to me. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't even remember what they are now, but it doesn't matter. But it was one of those songs taken out of scripture that had been put to music, and it spoke to the pain that I was feeling with God's presence there in it. And I think that's the beauty of music. There's so much music for whether you're up or down or in or out or angry or whatever, that it taps into our emotion and allows us to express that in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And in a beautiful way. And I think, you know, it's God's design, isn't it? Like I loved thinking about the verse that you talked about him singing over us, because I mean, we're made in his image. That's what Pastor Stan has been talking about, was being made in his image. That's our identity, and that we are a reflection of the music we sing back to him is just a reflection of what he's already, you know, done through his creation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I think so. I think
too
the point.
Deep for
yeah, but the point is that there is a language out there that will help you wherever you're up to. And again, that's the job of the artist. The job of the artist is to try and clarify our emotional being You know, art only makes sense when it makes sense for you in the moment. That's why sometimes, you know, you can walk past a sculpture 1,000 times, but on the 1,001st time it made sense to you and it spoke something to you. That's the mystery of things that aren't, you know, just data driven or whatever we like to say. So for me, yes, absolutely, it makes sense because you're trying to explain something that's deeply emotional, deeply spiritual, and words are complicated things when you're trying to add it to something that essentially what I heard you say was this week I found something that helped me speak.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. One of the songs that I already had the music for, this one was "Praise You in the Storm."
Mm-hmm.
The old Casting Crown song.
Praise you in the storm.
Yeah.
I will lift my hands. That one?
I think so. No matter where I am. But see, I don't sit and sing it. I sit and let the music flow through my fingers and the words are in my head and stuff like that. Because I'm a soaker in, or like you, Simon. But yeah, no, it was, but it's that release of through music. And I think, yeah. Because what is it about? The wavelength of music actually touches something in us. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of science.
There's a science to it.
I would love, what we'll do, yeah. we'll find a musicologist and we'll get a musicologist on here to talk to about that. Because yes, there's lots of science behind why even these strings that I'm playing right now. What I'm doing right now is I'm keeping it a beat in my head. But not everyone would be aware of that. But essentially, playing like this changes the way you speak, the rhythm in which you speak, and the rhythm in which you walk. You'll see it in the supermarket every day. When the fast song comes in, and you'll see people start walking in time with the music.
Yeah.
That's what it does. It helps us breathe a little differently, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus said in Luke 19 that... when they said, shut these people up from praising you.
Wow.
And Jesus said, if they stop, even the rocks will cry out. And I think that's the beauty that, you know, we need that that release to praise our Creator. And if we don't, the rocks can cry out. Do I understand that? I don't. But it's a very important part of who we are and our identity as Christians.
I love that. Producer Simon?
Yes.
Anything to add?
As a non-muso, I enjoy, or I am thankful for all musos that can make the music.
Because
it still impacts me. I can't make it, but I can receive it, I guess. So you guys have the other side of the enjoyment of making it, or the release of making it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I guess that would come in other ways for myself. But I get to at least enjoy it and be part of it. So that's
cool. It unites us.
Yeah.
So this is, okay, I'm just going to give this a shot, okay? Because this could fall over. But I'm going to make a joyful noise, all right? So you guys just have to pretend this is good.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm very insecure. No, but I should actually qualify that statement. We're all insecure. Some of us just, there's certain skills we train ourselves in to be a little bit better at. Doesn't mean this isn't scary, but this is, I just thought I'd take that Zephaniah scripture, is that all right?
Yeah.
Because the Lord God is with you, He's mighty to save. The Lord God is with you, He's mighty to save. He will take delight in you and quiet you with love. He'll rejoice over you with singing. He is with you. He is with you. quiet you with his love, with his love, with his love, with his love, he'll rejoice over you, rejoice and sing it. Honestly, worked okay.
Not bad, not
sounded
bad.
Sounded like a thing. You made that thing.
We'll come back with the remix. So
we'll up the tempo by 60.
Yeah.
With the remix.
Oh, there it is. That's a house dubstep piece right there. Mm. Maybe you should put that up as a sample on the. Don't you do that?
See what the world does with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Make this into a thing. Yeah. Chuck it into ChatGPT. But here's the point. ChatGPT is a robot. You're a human. You get to respond to what we've just talked about the same way as we do, right? So if Psalm 150 speaks to you, if Zephaniah 3:17 speaks to you, if Psalm 98 speaks to you, if any of these things, take time to dwell in his word and actually meditate on his word. Now, I've tried to show you how I do that with music, but you do it with art, you do it with walking in the fire, whatever it is, you just have to take time. You can't download this stuff and just know it. It's something that is much, much deeper than that, much more spiritual than that, and much more beautiful than any robot could make it. Mm. And so that's my encouragement to everybody else out there, that you are a created being, you have a creator, he sings over you and he wants you to sing back to him. Does that sound all right?
Sounds like a plan.
Mm. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a part of it today.
Thanks, Dee.
Oh, thanks, Simon and Justin. It was nice to be hanging out with the crew again.
Back on the pod, back on the Elaborators. We'll be back next week with another episode. It's called the Elaborators because we can elaborate on it.
Want.
Absolutely.
But you get to hold us accountable. So if there's some feedback, give it to us.
If you've got some ideas, talk about.
Shoot it to us. If you just want to hear Dee play the organ and sing,
it can be arranged.
We can do that.
No, we cannot. Wouldn't fit in here.
We're going to come our way of doing that. But everybody smile and wait for the cameras while we plan to have Dee come back and sing with us.
Bye.
See you next time.
See ya.